This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every Saturday, Chris, we're here sitting in these chairs and we're doing life together. And we're really glad that people join us.
That's right. It's great to have you along today on the show. And we invite you to join the conversation through social media and Dr. Linda's My Faith radio page, where you can leave a question, comment, or answer the social media question for the week. Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter account is at Dr. Linda Helps, and her website is drlindamental.com. And this is a heavy subject this week.
It is kind of difficult. In fact, the question this week was, give us one of your best tips to help motivate someone to change.
And one person said, can you give me a couple of days to think about it?
It isn't an easy, quick answer like a lot of these questions are, right. But it's an important one because what we're talking about today is when you see someone in your life who you know would benefit from making some change, and you don't know really how to handle that. And since it's a relationship show, we're going to talk about how do you respond to someone who you know needs to change, and yet you don't know how to approach them about that. So we talk a lot about when we have to make a change, but today we're going to talk about when we see someone else and how do we deal with that.
Well, so many of us want to be the fix-it person in a relationship, especially men, and that approach doesn't always work when you just dive in and try to fix someone.
Yeah, that's the what we call the Nike approach, when you just look at someone and say, just do it.
Just do it.
And it doesn't seem to work too well, like you said. But, you know, most of us have a friend. We have a family member. We have somebody in our lives. And it's not necessarily out of a bad motive to look at that person and say, you know, wow, I know if they would get off drugs or they would come to meetings on time or they would be kinder to their fellow employees, that they would do better.
Stop making so many noises when you eat.
Yes. So it doesn't come from any personal thing, does it? Close your
mouth when
you eat. That's kind of an annoying habit that I kind of noticed.
Right.
But, and that is one that is going to make or break, although it might if you're out with the boss and you're opening your mouth when you eat and it may cost you a job interview.
Right.
So it's not that we're coming at this in some kind of mean-spirited way of, like, we're better than other people, we see the need to change, they need to change. It's really out of a care and a concern for other people.
And change is so hard because of two factors. My approach is probably wrong, and you don't want to listen to me say that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're fallen people, and we just do it all wrong, but it has to be handled carefully.
Well, one of the things we know in therapy is that one reason that people hang on to even unhealthy habits and unhealthy behavior and even unhealthy relationship behavior, Chris, is because it's just familiar. It's what you know.
Right.
You might have learned it growing up. You might have practiced a bad habit for a long time. You might have slipped into a habit for any number of reasons. And so sometimes our reluctance to change just has to do with we've learned to do something another way, and making a change in that is pretty tough.
If we have difficulty with change, is there a chance that we have a problem with being lazy?
Well, it takes some intention.
I don't want to do that. That's too hard.
Well, it takes some intention. But what we're going to do today, and this is going to be, I think, really helpful for everybody who's listening, we're going to talk about the process of change.
Mm, yeah.
What does it take to actually make a change in your life? Because once you understand this, you will be so less frustrated with people, because you are going to be able at the end of the show to say, oh, now I know which stage of change that person is in. Mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't the right time to push. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe the person needs to get to the point where he or she sees the need for a change. So we're going to help you identify what that stage of change is in somebody else.
As believers, we struggle with this in our own sanctification, and you and I were talking about this before the show. I think a lot of people, upon first receiving Christ into their life, expect a 180-degree turn, and some people experience that.
There are miraculous changes.
Yes, they go from this lifestyle to this lifestyle. But some of us, me included, accepted the Lord as our Savior, but didn't necessarily see a major, major change, and that can be frustrating. But what I've had to realize is you're in different stages
right.
of that sanctification.
Right, where it's a process for most people. Like you said, there are miraculous changes. I know of a couple of people who, when they got saved, their craving for drugs went dramatically away. And that was miraculous. And then other yep. people who became saved and they've struggled with that craving and that temptation have had really to make some big changes in their lives in order to not give into that temptation. The good news is that when we're weak, Christ is strong. And that's a promise that he says, when you're weak, I'm in you. I can help you overcome even the most difficult situation. And then we know when it comes to, if it's a temptation towards a bad habit, we know that Scripture is really strong about resist it. Don't put yourself in the position where you're going to have to be tempted by it.
Yeah.
Just move away from it sometimes is the best strategy.
And change is a process. And people have to go from not thinking about it to...
Yeah, so let's look at that, just a little bit of what happens when people change. Because if we understand this process, and we're going to pick it apart in very specific stages. When you're thinking about a change, you first have to think, oh, maybe I need a change. I mean, think about it. If somebody's pointing out something to you and you've never saw it as a problem, you're not going to do anything about it. I work in a medical setting and you hear patients all the time saying, well, I smoke and my grandparents smoked till he was 90 years old and he never died from any problems with that. So they don't even see the need for a change.
Right.
And so the first step in that is to look at, does the person even, are they even thinking about making a change? Because if you don't have them in that stage, it's not going to go very well. And then we're going to look at how you move from just not even thinking about it to starting to think about pros and cons, then maybe to start making small changes to get it even more firmed up, and then how to get it into your life and prevent something else from happening again. So we're going to look at those stages as we get going in this.
It would seem like presenting pros and cons would be a powerful first step.
Well, it's actually the second step, because
second
you have
step,
to recognize, first of all, that you have a problem. So isn't that the case? Just think about that from a spiritual sense. If you don't even see that you have a problem, you don't make action, right? You don't repent.
Right.
You don't turn your life a different way because you don't even see that it's an issue. So your first step, the very, very first step when we're talking about this, has to be whether or not we even begin to see and are even thinking about the fact that what we could be doing might be harmful to ourselves or harmful to other people.
How hard is it to get someone to finally break over and realize change is necessary?
Well, it depends. Again, it depends on how much discomfort you have with that, how much you recognize it, how much you look at the long-term consequences. There are a lot of factors that go into that.
We're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. It's great to be with you today. Give us one of your best tips to motivate someone to change. That was the question we asked out and about this week, and we will hear from some of those folks as we continue after the break. Dr. Linda Mental is available on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter handle is at Dr. Linda Helps. We're talking about change. We'll be back right after this.
All right, so give me your best tip to help motivate someone to change.
Trust Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and be indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Conflict is normal, but how you handle it matters. Are you an avoider, reactor, or a negotiator? In her new book, We Need to Talk, Dr. Mental helps you understand your personal approach to conflict. If you want to build and maintain stronger relationships despite conflict, We Need to Talk is the place to start. Dr. Linda Mental's new book will help you learn how to successfully navigate relationship conflict. Available online in the bookstores now.
Learn more about Dr. Linda's book by visiting drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online. All right, so what is your best tip to help motivate someone to change?
First would be to talk to them in questions, not commands or criticisms. For example, if you think someone should lose weight, instead of being critical or being mean, pose a question. Wouldn't you feel a lot better and wouldn't you be healthier if you lost some weight?
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about the best tips to help motivate someone to change. Is there someone in your life where you're looking at them and you're concerned about them, you care about them, feel compassion towards them, and you just know if they would make a change or two in their lives that they would do better? Not that we want to be on people in a negative way, but we do see a need sometimes for people to change, and we want to know how to approach them in the right way.
And there is definitely a right and wrong way to do that. And like we heard in the Motts a minute ago, maybe ask a question.
Right.
Don't just come out with a bombastic statement right off the top of your
head.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about when you ask questions, when is that appropriate to do, but she's on to something there.
Right. But what are some of the don'ts?
Okay,
as far
so
as
we already talked about the Nike approach, just do it. That doesn't really work when you go to someone and you say, just do it. And I'm sure if we could see the hands of people who are listening, how many times they've tried that and it's worked, hasn't worked too often for most of us.
Right.
It doesn't help to keep talking about a change when people aren't ready for a change.
This would be nagging at its finest.
Yeah, that would probably be how people would perceive
right.
that. It also doesn't work to threaten consequences. So a lot of times we think that's a real big motivator, but when you're not ready to change, even the consequences of that kind of run by your head and you don't think about it too much.
So we had mentioned bringing up the pros and cons. Or the cons, you know, if you don't change, you will get lung cancer if you don't stop smoking. Could that be looked at as a threat?
Well, we're getting a little ahead, but that's okay. We can go ahead on this one. The issue there is the person who needs to make the change needs to come up with those pros and cons, not you who's talking to them. So
that's the trick on that.
That is key in making a change, but it can't be somebody else telling you. So you can think about this. Okay, I'm going to go for the doctor-patient again because I work at a medical school, right?
Right.
So when a doctor hands a patient a diet and says, now you need to lose weight. And why? Oh, because it's going to help you in your health. And you go through all the benefits of the health benefits. Not too many people respond to that. And the reason is that the patient has to be thinking about the consequences in his or her own life and the pros and cons in his or her own life. So the threat of consequences, unless they're your threats, the things that you really value, they don't really work so much. And then the one about repeatedly talking about it is similar to this last don't, and that is just to constantly confront the person. Look, come on, it's driving me crazy. You need to stop. If you don't stop being late to every time we have to go to church, this doesn't work because it's perceived, like you said, Chris, it's just constant nagging. And then sometimes the person digs in their heels and says, well, I'm just not going to do it because the person's coming at me so often.
Right, we get to be defiant.
Yeah, yeah.
I am on the side of the person who needs to change. There's a diet drink that I drink constantly. And when I met
With aspartame in it?
Lots of it, yes.
Not so good for you.
Right. But when I met my wife, her mother is a nurse, and she's very health conscious and knows it all. And she just badgered me about the diet drink.
And did it work?
No. I finally said, you have got to stop this confrontation. It's not working.
So have you come to any kind of recognition in your own life that you need to make that change?
No.
After this show. Okay.
Right.
After this show.
But it is working. It is working.
This could happen. So what do you do in general? One of the things that's really helpful, we do this in therapy. We talk to people and they say, imagine you wake up tomorrow morning and your life would be fantastic.
Right.
And it would just be the best.
Mm-hmm.
What would be different in your life? So sometimes talking about what your life would be like with that change
right.
can start to get you, yourself, to motivate what it is you could do different.
But I really like the diet drink.
Well, and it's not that you're not going to like the diet drink.
Right.
But again, is it something that you're going to decide in the long run that that's something you want to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not mind taking the risk that's involved with that? And maybe that'll change over time as well. The other thing, in general, is that we really want to encourage people for those positive results. We really want to talk about the positives rather than always emphasizing the negative.
Right.
So instead of if you lose weight, you want to talk about you'll feel better, you'll have more energy, the positive sides of that, rather than you can never eat another piece of chocolate cake, and which is not true, but you know the negatives. I'm gonna not get this. I can't do this. I'm gonna have to not do this. That's what we tend to do when we're having a difficult time change.
Well, and then introducing positive results would sound good to me, because generally when someone wants someone else to change, they hear a list of negatives.
Right. So that's the thinking behind that. And then, of course, if you're the person dealing with somebody who you know would do better with a change, the more compassionate you can be, the more empathetic. And then if you can get them to commit to any kind of action or plan, that's a good thing. So that's the general tips, but we really want to spend some time going over the stages.
Chris, I know you want the diet drink, but you're doing so well right now.
Is that going to motivate you?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to say
that would help.
Chris,
yes.
I know you need the diet drink. So next week, tune in to see if you made any kind of change, right? Well, let's go into the stages. I want to read a couple of the social media comments because we got some great ones here. So Angelica says, I try to speak into existence the change I want to see in the other individual. I find ways to encourage the other person, even if it's on a small scale. So here's that encouragement part again. Mm-hmm. I find they begin to believe the encouragement I'm pouring out if I say it over and over.
Yeah.
That's good.
Positive reinforcement, as they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Troy says, I want to lead by example. Come alongside the person and walk them through the process while doing the same kind of changing myself. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
How about Pam, who says, I might motivate people to change by calling them out, but when I call them out, I try to be very gentle in the way I approach them. I try to speak the truth in love. So she's using the scriptural principle of speaking the truth in love, which is really important. It's that compassion and empathy again.
That's the way our witness as a believer can work, too.
Right.
Is the folks will see the change. And like Troy said, you're able to walk that person through that process because you've been there.
And what about Dean, who says, encourage people to make small changes first rather than tackle a big change all at once.
Take it one step at a time. Don't try to shove so much in at once.
You get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then you get discouraged, and then you give up. Kevin says, sharing with them. Take some time with them. Take them away from their normal routine and spend time. That's a really interesting, good point. And Rhonda says, people have to know that there's a reason why they need to change. Help them create a thirst to change. Show them the benefits of change. So Rhonda is really onto the idea behind the stages of change.
An example would be someone who needs to lose weight. If you can illustrate to them, hey, look, if you lost this 50 pounds, look how much more mobile you would be. Your heart would be in better shape. If you get them to believe that, they'll buy into the change process.
They'll buy into it if they're ready for that. So the very first step in the stages of change is what we call the pre-contemplation stage. This is where you're in denial and you're not thinking about the consequences. So you don't even care about the consequences. You've given up. You think it's not going to happen. You're resigned to the problem and you kind of minimize it and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. When somebody's in that stage, you are not going to motivate them to change.
You know, there's a TV show on about people who hoard and store just massive amounts of rancid junk in their house. And it would seem when this process begins, this is where they are.
Yeah, they're not seeing it as an issue. Now, that's a psychiatric disorder, actually. Hoarding is actually in one of the psychiatric disorders. But again, when somebody is in that pre-contemplative stage, when they're in denial, they need empathy versus confrontation during that time. So good questions to ask somebody in that pre-contemplation stage would be, what would have to happen for you to know that this is a problem? Or you could say maybe, what warning signs would let you know that this is a problem? Or even asking the person, have you tried to change in the past? So those are some good questions that would get at the denial, the not thinking about the problem, and just get them starting to think, but do it in an empathetic way versus a confrontational way.
When you get into this process with someone, and we only have about a minute left before the next break, is this something that requires some repetition so you can keep it in the front of their mind?
Yeah, you would say, you know, what else would have to happen? So let's say in the worst case scenario, like with a drug addiction or something, and the person's gone to jail and they're still in that denial stage, you know, you could say, so what else would have to happen for you to really see the seriousness of this? And get them to start thinking, again, we're trying to move that person from not thinking about the problem to thinking about, well, maybe this really is an issue and I need to do something about it.
And those can be some tough questions to start out.
They are.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show talking about change today. How do you work with someone through the process of change in their life? You can visit Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her Twitter account is at Dr. Linda Helps. And of course, visit the website, drlindamental.com. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
All right, so give me one of your best tips to help motivate someone to change.
I think one of the best ways to motivate people to change is to make them consider the consequences. If you think about our culture, in terms of, say, tobacco? Do you think 100 years ago tobacco use was everywhere, completely prevalent? But once health officials and people in authority started saying, hey, look, here is a picture of a lung of someone who has always used tobacco, and we started to see the consequences, as a culture we have changed.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold. Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamintel.com, or online where books are sold.
All right, so give me your best tip to help motivate someone to change.
Well, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so we go from ungodly to godly simply through discipline. There's instant replay, but there's no such thing as instant godliness. So discipline, meaning a day-by-day habit, put it on a piece of paper, put it on your schedule, make yourself do it, that this is what I'm going to do. And as you discipline yourself, then a person can change and grow in their life.
And this is the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm Chris. Great to be with you on this Saturday talking about change today. And Dr. Linda, on her blog at myfaithradio.com, has talked about motivating others to change. And it can be difficult. We've made it through a couple of the stages, and we've got a couple more to go.
We did. So the beginning stage is pre-contemplation, where people are in denial. They're not thinking about it. And we talked about some questions you could ask. The second stage is what we call, which makes a lot of sense, the contemplation stage.
Right.
So before you contemplate, then you contemplate. So it's easy to remember. And this is when people are ambivalent about change. And I would guess, Chris, that this is where most people are when they're having trouble making change. They're like, yeah, I know I need to, but yeah, I don't know if I can.
That's why you call this the yes but stage.
Yes, yeah. Because you are thinking about why it's going to be hard to do that. So mm-hmm. The questions you'd want to ask people are something like, what would keep you from changing now? And get them to think about that. Or what would help you make a change at this time? Or another good question is, what's helped you in the past? And to get people to start thinking, and sometimes what we do is something very simple with people is we have them make a list of pros and cons and then maybe weight the answers to that and go, yeah, there's a whole lot more pro here than there is con. Maybe this is a time. But this is where you're thinking about it. So the first stage, you're not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The second stage, you are beginning to think about it.
These three questions, do you need to give the person some time to think about this, or do you demand an answer right away?
No, you just start thinking about, you know, getting them to think. Because, again, you're getting them to think about where they are mm-hmm. in terms of making a change. So once they've begun to think about it and they're contemplating, yeah, maybe I could make a change, then they move into the third stage, which is the preparation stage. And this is where they really start to begin to think about, maybe I could make a small change.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for you, maybe I could cut out 2 or 3 diet drinks a week.
Right.
So maybe I could start small, you know, not expecting just a complete cold turkey on that, but maybe
right.
I could just do 1 or 2, or I could cut down or miss a day or do something like that. So this is maybe taking the dog for a walk as a way of beginning to exercise. This is maybe saying I'm going to cut out an hour of television watching because I want to change that. Whatever the change is, you need to start preparing yourself to make that grand change, but you can start in small steps.
And this allows the person to learn a lot about themselves.
It does. Mm-hmm. But it also sets you up to be successful.
Right.
Because if you can take a small bite out of that big change and you can do well with that one step, it encourages you to say, okay, I did that. Maybe I could add a couple more days to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth stage is the action stage. And this is where you really are thinking, okay, I did really well on those small things. I'm going to start going for bigger change and try to make this more of a pattern. And I'm really going to do something about that. When people are there, you don't have to encourage them. I mean, it's nice to encourage them, but people are ready to go, and they're going to make that change on their own.
It would seem like the encouragement, the hope, and the praise that you've talked about in these last two stages, it needs to be genuine.
It does.
Because if you try to just, because I need to do this, I need to encourage this person, that person will see through that.
But just saying things like, I know how hard that is for you, and mm-hmm. I noticed that you really tried or you really did that, that's a good thing. And then the last stage is the maintenance stage, because it's really hard to make a big change and never have a relapse. Not impossible for that to happen, but you really want to take action over the long haul. And so occasionally people will slip back, they might do something, but as long as you get back on and you say, okay, I know it worked for me in the past, I can do that now. So the bottom line, if you want to motivate someone to change, is you really need to figure out where they are in that process. Because if you're trying to motivate someone to change who's in denial, you're not going to get anywhere.
Right.
If they're still in the contemplation stage where they're thinking, yeah, yeah, maybe, maybe, but you're still not going to get anywhere. You have to get to a, they have to be in a point where they're preparing for it. So a little advice on the stages of change. Hopefully you won't get too frustrated with people. That'll help you start thinking about what you need to do at each stage. And again, there's information on the blog if you want to go, and the stages of change are there, and they'll help encourage you on how to respond to someone.
And it would help, this also helps someone who needs to change not be frustrated with themselves so much.
That's right. And we had a lot more social media. We had people encouraging people to make small changes. That was one of the other things that people were sharing. And to understand that change isn't always easy, and there's a lot of difficulty sometimes making a change. Well, that's all we have time for. So many thanks to our producer, Matt Garcia, who is also our new man on the street this week. And thanks, of course, to you, Chris, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation and enjoyable to do. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it certainly is better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.